Millie Iverson, the first author, this is her brainchild. The rest of us listed behind her were there to help her realize that dream. And I guess the unofficial title for this talk is Vancouver Has a Soil Map. Yay! Because as you can imagine, lots of urban areas don't have soil maps simply because they got paved over before any meaningful soil surveys started, and Vancouver is really not the exception from that. Soil surveys in British Columbia started immediately after Second World War and were quite active during 50s and 60s, so Vancouver was covered with concrete and asphalt, and it was like standing like a gap on the map for a really long time. So I'm actually, for the first time, giving somebody else's talk, and these are her slides. She did such a good job when we had the Canadian Soil Science Conference earlier this year, so I thought, oh, I'll just take your slides and I'll just present. So that's what I'm doing. This is the outline. I will briefly tell you what the Vancouver Soil Map is, how we use it as the educational tool, what are the other purposes for which it's used. I'll give you a very brief tour of the website because now we have it and it's functional and it's running. And Melissa has future ambitions. She's actually waiting for me when I come back from this conference with a proposal. She wants to do more. It's like, okay. So she started her master's in 2008, and with the idea that she would like to develop a guide with for soil assessment of different areas where we have community gardens, but very quickly it became obvious that you can't have any meaningful guide for soil assessment when you don't have a soil map. So first order of business very quickly became development of the soil map of Vancouver, and this is the first version from 2009 that she colored with crayons. It was part of her thesis. She was pretty ambitious, and she still is a very ambitious young person, and she published that map later in the Canadian Journal of Soil Science, but that was really not enough because it was still static, hard copy, nobody uses it. Well, soils people know about it, but that was it. So then she wanted to kind of put it out there. I guess a couple of words before the digital version, which is this map here. The development of the map was based on the elevation, topography, and basically parent material or geology maps that we had of Vancouver. And with help of one and only remaining pedologist at UBC, we embarked on outlining the lines of four main soil management maps. We also looked at the Langley-Richmond map and what are the key soil series that are somewhat similar to the area in Vancouver. And based on all of that information, we ended up with these four soil management groups in our map. As I said, the desire for this map came from the push for urban gardening and urban farms in Vancouver, which is quite strong. At the beginning, when we were just starting to outline the map, there were lots of questions. Well, what's the point or what's the importance of a map of a city like Vancouver? Hasn't all of those soils been paved over and destroyed and removed? And yeah, some of them have, but even in some pockets of the area, we still have native soil. In other pockets, the topsoil has been removed, but the subsoil and lower layers of the soil profile are still intact, and they do make a profound impact on soil hydrology, nutrient retention, and so on. And under such conditions, it is important for various urban activities, including policy development, to have something like that in place. And also for me, teaching in Vancouver soil science courses, to have especially an online version of a map was a great opportunity to have an exciting teaching or educational tool. So, as I said, this was all Melissa's vision. We helped her along. In the second phase of development of the soil map, we went to several videographers and IT people and asked them for help and put all the information online. We developed various videos of the most typical locations where the soil management groups are located. We brought my colleague Art Bomke, who was a co-supervisor to Melissa's master's project, to talk about the key features. And we are lucky at UBC that we have this Teaching and Learning Enhancement Fund that provided funding for this second phase of putting this online. So this is a screenshot of the homepage of Vancouver Soil Map. If you type in Vancouver Soils as one word .ca, you will get access to that directly. Nothing is password protected, so everything is open. It allows you to familiarize yourself. What are the main soils in Vancouver? What are the best possible uses for them? And it also, as I said, provides a wonderful opportunity for educators to cover not just soil classification and land uses, but also formation and how do you go about soil assessment once you have something that's openly available to everyone. There are three main features of the soil or Vancouver soil map. First feature is to navigate these main soil management groups that are of your interest, and you can do that in three ways. You can go and click on the map and click on the area that's of interest to you, or you can go on a tab called Management Group, or third way, you can click on one of these, and each of them shows an opening feature from the video for each of the four groups. When you clicked on one of the four management groups, you are in its own page, and all the layouts look like this one here. On the top, you get the basic information on that particular management group, what are the specific considerations of that soil for using it for some kind of plant growth. Then you get quick facts about topography, elevation, parent material from the map. This central part shows the video. The video format is always the same. The expert, Dr. Bomke, is interviewed by a student, in this case Alicia, is asking all the relevant questions about particular location, what are the disadvantages and advantages of particular soil, how is soil in that location used, and so on and so forth. We found locations that are most representative of the four groups, opened the soil pits, and then brought the expert to go through the horizon identification, description, soil classification process, and then commenting on management features of that particular soil. And then on each page, there are also these photos of the soil profile. This shows a typical podzol with a very enriched and very typical AP horizon, which is much thicker than our podzols in our climate around Vancouver would end up having. That's the reality of urban soils. Another main feature of the site is to provide information to explore Vancouver's soil formation processes. We just couldn't resist that because Vancouver does have an interesting Vancouver soils have an interesting development. The area, as most of the North America, was covered by ice, and then about 10,000 years ago, the ice started retreating. But since we are in the coastal area, there were several isostatic rebound events, which brought up this land that was compressed for many centuries under the thick ice. It started lifting up, and we can see those isostatic rebound plateaus in our topography in Vancouver. So we are using a portion of this website to teach that part of the soil science as well in our courses. And finally, there is another tab other resources where you can find regional resources on soil science and soil formation, and that's where Melissa parked the portion of the soil assessment guide for urban gardeners. And that's what she's kind of thinking of enhancing in this third phase of the project, and she's planning to apply for, again, to Teaching and Learning Enhancement Fund for more funding. Because the way we use currently a MAP is in full existence in just a year, maybe not even a whole year, since it's been finished. We are using it by telling our students who go to work into different communities across Vancouver, either community gardens or schools, either elementary or high schools, are very keen on having their own school gardens. So our students, either undergraduate or graduate, go and do all kinds of soil-related work assessments. They develop recommendations for nutrient application, improvements if possible on particular sites. So something like this provides extremely valuable background information for those community engagement projects, and our students really like those kinds. So we had several directed studies already using this tool. I also use it in my fourth year course on soil management that's delivered as problem-based learning. And we send students to, well, whomever we find that particular year interested in, but this last year we had a high school in East Vancouver, and our students went to their yard or their garden, and they learned about the features, key features of the soil in that particular area of Vancouver from this map. So there is an interest in community gardening. This will be very important tool for that. It will also provide a bridge in, and strengthen the existing community partnership. And it opens the door now that it's on a flexible platform of WordPress. It allows for crowdsourcing capacity, allows for the citizen science component to take off. And what Melissa and a couple of programmers are talking about is to develop an app that would allow collection about the information of different soils by iPhones and other mobile devices, uploading that information on the enhanced version of this website. And if we get funding, that would probably be then the next stage. So you never know what happens with your students once they start on the road of wanting to develop something. So that's all I had prepared. If you have time during this week, please go and explore vancouversoils.ca, and if you have any feedback, please let me know once you've seen it. Questions? Yes, Susan.
Do you have any, what I frequently get is, is there lead in the soil from paint, or is this a brownfield or whatnot? Are very eager to find dramatic problems with their soil.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you don't know and you are scared, we have lots of brown fields. We have all kinds of issues. Even when we went and opened we went to two community gardens, urban farm and community orchard, that are actively growing food on them. And yeah, we found on one of them, at depth, all kinds of, it looked like some burnt glass. So this is obviously the beginning. The site assessment is the beginning. And yeah, the contamination is a big problem. This is not going to answer that, but it's at least sending them in the right direction. Yeah?
I work at the National Soil Survey Center in Lincoln, and one of the discussions that we've been having over a number of years is all the whole urban soils and anthropogenic soils. Arena, and part of that has dealing with different sort of internal proposals or ideas, trial balloons, about how do you rationally subdivide urban areas or piece it apart. There are the intact areas of soils that you've spoken to, but and there are some broad brushes, interesting proposals saying that, you know, in downtown urban areas, maybe it's 80-90% modified and disturbed and totally non-aimable. But there are different areas around it which you can then break out and recognize that are, you know, there's different mixes of degrees of development. And I bring it up only by way of saying it would be fun to have some continued discussions with interested parties, because clearly we can no longer ignore urban environments, and all the way from downtown all the way out to the suburban fringe. And there are ways that we can make some general partitions that recognize the overall relative presence or absence of native soils, and then what do we do with the urban stuff.
We will continue the discussion, but I just want to make comment to your comment. When you are a soil scientist in a big urban center like I am, and if you want to promote soil science to general public and new generation of students, you cannot ignore urban soils.
Right.
You cannot put the blinders that we've been doing for many years and talk about forest or agricultural soils. They are there, wanted or not. And that's what our students see or work with, and it's really the type of the soil that might hook them in.